This call is being recorded.
Welcome to another edition of One Patriot's Place, brought to you by e2gsports.com. With you today is Thomas Murph Murphy, myself, Claire Clazzy, Claire Cooper. And filling in for Steve Ballastreri and his absence today is the editor of Patriots Maven SI, host of a Locked On Patriots podcast, the admiral of alliteration himself. It is the lovely Mr. Mike Debate. Gentlemen, hi. How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm not high. I'm pretty good, from what I'm told. And it's going well. You know, it's rainy and dreary here. It's free. It's like England. God, it's terrible. If I wanted this shit, I'd go live in England. Mike, what's up, bud?
Oh, I am doing great. Claire, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. Really, I mean, you know, I'm always on the giving end of those types of introductions. To be on the receiving end of it is truly a treat. So thank you, Countess. I appreciate that. Murph, I'm doing well. Yeah, I gotta agree with you. It is kind of very very British type weather outside.
Yeah,
very British. Seattle-ish out here. Yeah, exactly. It makes you want to just, you know, chill out for some fish and chips. But it's good. It's good. Right. I like it. You know, it's very
makes
popular
you
up
eat
here
bad
in England.
Food.
Yeah,
it does. It makes you want to eat bad food. That's all you get in Britain.
Do not start on the food.
What are you talking about? What do you mean, don't start on the food?
Do not start, you.
Why do you think everybody got on boats and left that country?
Oh,
find good food.
Me. Listen, Mike, you see that I have to put up with.
For the record, folks,
week.
I did not say that. I do want that to be relatively.
I did.
Murph will sign his name to it.
Fucking yeah. Kippers. God.
Murph's the only asshat here. Kippers is Scottish, actually, so whatever.
Kippers are disgusting. British food is terrible.
Honestly. Oh,
let's
my
wrap this.
God.
Let's slather this nice roast beef in mustard and then wrap it in puff pastry and call it cuisine.
How about not everybody does that? God.
They do.
But not everybody. You tarnish us with such the same brush. It's unbelievable.
I think I've set off an inadvertent, recap of the War of 1812 going on here, guys. I apologize for that. three minutes into the fill-in gig, and, Steve's going to listen to this and go, what the hell did you have him on?
See, this is what it is. We need control. When there's just the two of us, it's just not good.
No, it's not a good thing. It's not.
It up,
we just go back and forth for, you know, an hour and a half, and those are our highest rated shows.
So mean to me.
Not mean to you. It's not you. Stop. Go to a soccer game. God.
Oh.
All right. What do we want to make, guys, of the narration? Mike had a great write up on this over at Maven today. Yep, Patriots Maven, Patriot Maven. I keep doing that, man. I keep adding the S on there. Why is the S not there, Michael?
That's Mike above my pay grade, bud.
Yeah. If we're going on pay grade, everybody's above us. The three of us. Holy shit. But you made a great point, man. A lot of the talk yesterday and this morning has been, you know, yeah, but it's the Jets, you know. And I read your take today, Mike, on over there at SI, and I was right on board with you, man. Tell some of our listeners just a bit. We still want them to go over there and read, folks. I've tweeted it out a couple of times. I'll do it one more time. Give them a tidbit of your take of how you feel about this narrative.
Well, you know, bottom line, bud, you take a look at the national power rankings out there, and believe it or not, most of them were kind to the New England Patriots, seeing an uptick in, rankings that were in the mid-20s last week.
Yeah.
That now all of a sudden have the Patriots ranked nearly as high as the mid-teens. So some pretty big jumps when it comes to some of the national narratives out there. One in particular rubbed me the wrong way, and you know me, I don't mention names, I don't mention anything,
right.
But if you read my piece on Patriot Maven, I go as close to the sun as I can on that one. And look, bottom line, you know, yes, it was the New York Jets. Yes, the Jets were banged up. There's no question about it. They're not a superior football team to the New England Patriots, and the Patriots essentially did their job. But when you hang 50 points on an NFL football team, and I don't want to hear that this, you know, BCS, collegiate, all this stuff to try to lessen what the Patriots did on the field on Sunday, I don't want to hear it. That's an NFL football team. There are NFL players, ready players, that are able to contribute and contribute well to that team. Patriots scored 50 on that. Any professional football team that does it should feel proud, should feel a sense of accomplishment for doing that. And the Patriots have every right to rest on their laurels a little bit, at least for the time being, to appreciate what they were able to do. Now, that turnaround is very short-lived. I guarantee you the Pats are back at work today, watching film, absorbing, doing everything they need to do in order to get ready to hit the practice fields on Wednesday, because this matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday is going to be a very tough one on both sides of the ball. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I don't want to hear that it's just the Jets. This was an NFL football team that the New England Patriots just hung a 50 burger on, and by doing so, they showed that they can not only open up things in play action, utilize the running game to do that, utilize, I clear, the two tight end sets that they really want to be able to employ. These things are really, I think, a staple of New England Patriots football. And of course, Murph, we talked a little bit about this yesterday on Locked On Patriots, the defensive side of the ball, that defensive line stepping up. I found myself revisiting a lot of what I had talked about pregame in postgame when it talked about the interior of the defensive line and guys that were stepping up, at Carl Davis making, you know, big plays and utilizing, you know, his ability in the nose to be able to make tackles and, you know, be able to push the pocket. Just a lot of stuff that went on Sunday that I think the Patriots need to be proud of. So we need to see more of it. There's no question about it, but it doesn't lessen what they were able to do on Sunday. I'm tired of the it's just the Jets narrative. Just to me, it's based on biased agenda, nothing more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any of you remember what the spread was on this game?
Seven?
Right. Seven.
It was seven. Yeah. It was yeah, seven. It was seven or seven and a half. Yeah.
Seven. Seven.
I can't believe you did. I can't believe you did.
I got to work it in somehow. But no, I'm going somewhere with this. And what
Are
did
you
the
sure?
Patriots win? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm positive. Positive.
And how?
And what was? And what was the final score?
54.
Is this a rhetorical question? I mean, yeah, 54-13.
Right, 54-13. So every expert on the planet in Las Vegas, the land of experts, had the Patriots a 7-point winning this game by 7 points at the most. All right, at the very most, for a push for everybody in Vegas to make money. And what did the Patriots do? They went out and they destroyed this team. All right, you were supposed to be 7 points better. You ended up 40 points better. Kiss my entire Irish ass. Go ahead, Claire.
Oh, I like how it's not green this week because the Jets are green.
The Jets are gangrene. Okay, that's a gangrene. It's a very nasty, disgusting green. It's a terrible green. It's the kind of green you don't want to pick off an apple tree. All right.
Oh, you're so fickle, you are. You so make it just work to your own devices, really, don't you? So fickle.
That's what life's all about, isn't it? What's best for me is what's best. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Mike, this is a football show, so we'll carry on talking Patriots. With all the missing pieces in the secondary, is there anyone versatile enough to change his role significantly to help with this, do you think?
We lose Mike?
Did we lose Mike?
Oh my God.
Did he give up?
Oh my God. Mike walked out on us. He did. He got up and walked out on us.
We've never had a guest leave.
No, it's like the kid who's tired of his parents arguing. Holy shit. And he left the house. He ran away. I'll answer your question. I'm not sure. I think, you know, this is going to end up being a collective effort. A group effort, more of a team-wide spread out of these responsibilities. But the guys at the back end are going to really have to step up and take care of this little situation we got going here. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, this is why I wanted to ask this question, because, I mean, they always talk about Patriots players being versatile, that kind of thing. And I just wondered if we were going to, because it's getting so sketchy out there now. I mean, Miles Bryant is the next man up and he's already on the roster. We've got sort of how many sort of in the secondary guys we've got injured or out now or that kind of thing, that it was like, is somebody going to like just swap and change and just be something different sort of to help cover, to help plug kind of thing? Are we going to see Gunner back there or something?
Oh, no. But I mean, the guys like Miles Bryant and Jawan Williams and, you know, I mean, you know, you Cody Davis and Justin Bethel, we're gonna see a bit more of them.
And, yeah, these are all names that we don't normally see.
Oh, okay. Mike, you back?
I am resurrected. I don't know what happened. I really and truly do not know what happened. But no, all kidding aside, I agree with what Murph had to say. And I'm not sure where I got cut off or where I ended up losing you guys. But yeah, I think, you know, at this point, Miles Bryan is someone that I think does have the ability to be able to make contributions. I know some will point to some cracks, some difficulties that he had in coverage. But bottom line, I mean, this is a kid that gained his first NFL sack. I thought he came off the interior blitz very well on that, read it very well. And if he can make that contribution in the slot, I think the Patriots have a chance now to look at Miles and say, okay, he's going to be able to weather the storm. He could possibly be someone that could be a possibility and someone that could be a big-time contributor to this team. But you know, you're not going to replace someone like a Jonathan Jones overnight. It's just not going to work. The Patriots just don't have that type of firepower on their roster to be able to do it. Sean Wade, you mentioned, Murph, is someone that could possibly step in. He's actually better in the slot, believe it or not, than yeah. he was on the outside. And Murph, you pointed this out to me from his time at Ohio State, and he was highly touted. I mean, really, people were talking about him as a potential first-round pick out of the slot cornerback position. And then when they moved him over to outside corner, some of that was due to the turf toe. Yeah, some of that was due to the turf toe. But, you know, it's a different game covering speedy receivers on the outside. When he was in the slot, very well capable, but he's been battling a concussion. I mean, there's all different types of, you know, things that can happen with this team. And Jawan Williams just has not been that match in the press man's coverages and the press man schemes that the Patriots love to employ. So it makes you wonder whether or not he's a possibility on the outside and maybe moving Jalen Mills to the slot. I think they're going to be active in the next couple of days trying to upgrade that position, not in a major way, but at least get some bodies in here and some people that can contribute.
That was actually sort of, you've pretty much covered my question as such, but I was actually saying, with all the missing pieces that are in the secondary, is there anyone that the Patriots have already got who is versatile enough to maybe even change his role significantly to help plug sort of all the gaps that are beginning to form?
Well, the most versatile player that they have in the defensive backfield right now in terms of cornerbacks that could possibly make that move would be Jalen Mills, but I think he's too valuable on the outside corner right now to start moving him around the formation. If they're going to move anybody up, it could be, like, again, someone like a Miles Bryant, who's not a prototypical slot corner. He's more of a jack of all trades back there. To tell you the truth, Miles is actually more of a comfortable safety than he is a corner, but I think he can play that role. Again, I don't see the versatility in Jawan Williams' game to be able to do it and play out of the slot. If he is going to be effective, it will be as an outside thumping type corner that can make those plays very sizable, so he has the ability to do that. But again, we just haven't seen enough from Jawan to say that he's turned the corner. Had three pass breakups on Sunday, arguably his best game of the year, but
right.
still, there were breakdowns in coverage. There were issues there where, you know, he's missing assignments. It's tough. So the Patriots are in a difficult situation right now. Not as much of, you know, in terms of guys that they've brought in. They did work out a few, defensive backs last week. You know, DJ Hayden comes to mind. Brian Poole, probably a former Jet, probably the most recognizable name on that list. So they're going to continue to work guys out and bring guys in. But at the same time, I wouldn't look for anything major in terms of a blockbuster trade. Murph and I talked a little bit about this yesterday on Locked On Patriots. They have a little over $4 million in cap space and just not a whole lot of operating costs to be able to bring in someone of significant value. So if they're going to bring someone in, it's going to be a depth piece.
Typical. You've covered my next question on your last show. So typical.
It's host disease. It's host disease.
It's sharing half of the same brain, which unfortunately we've taken Claire down to our level, Murph. Poor thing. Poor Claire. Claire, we apologize.
Somebody brought up to me late last night I believe it was late last night. I'm not sure. There was a lot of scotch flowing last night.
Your late last night stories, Murph.
Hmm?
This show is not rated for your late last night episodes, in all fairness.
Oh, no, that was the PG-13 version, believe me. If I wanted to go, NC-17, I could, but I shan't. There's Claire's sitting there scratching her head. What's PG-13? What the hell is that? You know why? Because she's British, and they have no standards over there. You just let little children into bars and whatever movies they want to go. If you can pay for the ticket.
Always with the British bashing. Wow, look at the abuse I have to put up with. The abuse, the literal abuse I have to put up with.
Call HR. but somebody brought up to me last night, Murph, why don't they just move McCourty back over to cornerback and let him play corner and just do a little bit of it. Why would you want to make two spots weaker?
That's a concern. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Devin is still one of the finer safeties in the league, even though
and he's injured.
And he's injured. Yep, and he's injured.
He went out the game with injury, should I say?
We haven't heard much about that. No. To date, Michael, have you heard anything more about his abdominal injury?
Nothing major. Nothing right now to report. That. This point, it continues obviously to be a concern. We'll know more on Wednesday. Obviously, Bill Belichick scheduled to speak to the media Wednesday morning prior to practice. If Devin is present on the practice field, all of a sudden, that becomes, something to monitor as well. So there's a possibility that may be, in the pipeline right now. But ultimately, I mean, if they're looking at Devin McCourty missing any significant period of time, this is going to be a difficulty for the Patriots because they're already thin at that position. If I told you prior to this season that the Patriots were looking at significant time on the field without Stephon Gilmore, without Jonathan Jones, and without Devin McCourty, I think everyone probably would have said, fold up shop and look forward to 2022. It's just not going to happen. But it's going to be devastating. So hopefully the New England Patriots have good news when it comes to the Devin McCourty front. But his exit with an abdomen injury definitely put a strain on that secondary.
It sure did. It sure did. And there I will go. Stick with you on that. We've talked about the bad news. Let's talk about the good news. The resurgence of one Brandon Bolden, who had a fantastic game yesterday. I had to listen to a bunch of talking heads once again talk about but it was the Jets, and they decided not to cover running backs out of the backfield and yada yada yada. Claire, what did you think of the performance of one Brandon Bolden yesterday?
Well, I thought it was different to what they've been utilising. Obviously, they've been using him as a runner, and unfortunately, no offence, Murph, but it hasn't been the most successful so far this season, in all fairness. Yeah, there's been glimmers, but it hasn't been his most successful sort of trait. And they've moved him over to more of a receiver, and he was actually the top pass receiver during the game. And I think, I don't know, is he evolving into sort of a different... a different position now? Are they utilizing him differently? His veteran presence in the team is obviously really necessary, particularly with the loss of the likes of James White. But he seems to be utilized more as a receiver, and it was more successful than his running game actually for this season.
Yeah, it was. Mike, you got anything to piggyback off that?
No, and I mean, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment when it comes to Bolden. Look, bottom line, this guy is a Swiss Army knife in terms of what the Patriots need him to do. Murph, everyone always talks about his special teams prowess and how great of a special teams player he is, always being in position, always knowing where he needs to be on the field. as I like to say on Locked On Patriots, that's not by happenstance, folks. That's by design. Brandon Bolden knows the field as well as anybody that puts on a Patriots uniform on a week-to-week basis. He plays hard for Bill Belichick, and you know that's one of the things that endears him so much to Bill. Bill loves guys that will go to the nth degree and play yep. up to the maximum of their ability, and Brandon does that consistently, but there's also a lot of prowess in the open field. Brandon Bolden is listed as a running back on this depth chart for a reason. He is a guy that can give you significant yardage and be a weapon out of the backfield when he needs to be. And you saw that unleashed on Sunday. Again, I don't want to put any stock into the it's just the Jets. If Yep. you're talking about that, you're being driven again, folks, by a biased agenda designed to raise the ire of New England Patriots fans. And to my amazement and bewilderment, it works. But bottom line, it doesn't change what Brandon Bolden was able to do on the field. He led all receivers, not just receivers out of the backfield. He led all receivers on Sunday with 79 yards, the touchdown grab for 15 yards. This guy played a tremendous game, deserves all the credit in the world for it.
Yeah, Brandon was making sure he got into the end zone on that pass. Absolutely. There was no way. That was not happening. He had a chance for six, and he was going to show the world that he was going to go get that six. And it was a beautiful little tiptoe down the sidelines there, showing once again that even at the ripe old age of 30-ish, Brandon Bolden can still get it done. I thought it was a beautiful thing. I certainly enjoyed the game on tape delay. And I will be watching it for a fourth time probably later, just for those highlights. But does it bother either of you that the narrative that he was the leading receiver in this game, that it did end up being a running back being the number one receiver? Me, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there. And I thought Mac did a fantastic job of reading the coverages that were in front of him and taking the yards that were given.
Yeah, completely, exactly what you've said. I mean, what difference does it make sort of who's catching the ball as long as they catch the ball kind of thing? And, you know, you get those points. And the thing about him being the top receiver, it's going to throw the defense off. If you're utilizing a guy in a way that isn't maybe the traditional utilization of him, it's going to be a bit of a sort of a trick, if you like, for the defense. And as much as the narrative has been against the Jets, and I haven't been one to plug it whatsoever, but I have heard a lot that the Jets defense, you know, it isn't complete trash, although it wasn't exactly great, but it's a young defense that was reasonably good this season. So, you know, that's going to hold for something as well. But yeah, like, as you both said, it's not a narrative that I've really gone behind, and you know, they won 54-13, so you know, there you go kind of thing. But I don't think it's sort of, it's one of those, are you going to be a position snob that the only guys that get the passes are going to have to be receivers sort of thing? But I think if you're utilizing a guy in a position and it's something that's successful, then, you know, all for it. I don't think he's been greatly successful as a running back this season, so I'm glad that they utilized him and it was, again, successful, and he got his touchdown kind of thing, so that he got the accolades that he deserved, because he is a good player and he is a good Patriot, and I think, you know, it was well deserved.
Mike, any issues with who's the leading receiver on the team?
Absolute zero. No, I have no issue with that. If anything, to me, what it does is it only validates that there are a lot of different ways in which this offense can be effective. And mm-hmm. I think that should be praised. I don't think that should be Bravo. Something that is a punchline. Bottom line, look, nobody did a better job of utilizing the field, utilizing the open man on the field than Tom Brady. And we saw him do it up here for 20 years and do it better than anybody. No one ever did more with less than Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Do you hear me over at FS1? Listen, because it's the truth. That's exactly what Tom Brady did. And I don't care that he has an arsenal of major weapons down in Tampa Bay. He's still doing it down there. Those guys didn't look like that 2 years ago before Tom joined the team. But we're not going to turn this into a Tom session over here, folks. I'm going to get back to the Patriots. I am extremely impressed by what Mac has been able to do by utilizing the guys that are open on the field. Mac Jones loves solid route runners. This is why, I declare, he loves to throw the ball to Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is one of the best route runners I've ever covered. And right. I knew this about him back in Los Angeles. I said this from the day that he was signed here. The one thing that's going to endear the Patriots to Hunter Henry is his ability to run routes. That ability that he has to be that prototypical Y tight end really is what everyone's seeing right now. And that's why everyone's loving Hunter so much. But Mac is able to spread the ball around. He's not afraid to go to Brandon Bolden at, you know, on a third down option, or go to him as a receiver and be able to utilize the yards after the catch on the field. He's also able to drop a dime when he needs to, like he did to Kendrick Bourne, and that really could have gone for a touchdown. You can make the argument that 46 yarder could have been a touchdown, probably should have been, but ultimately there are different ways. And as Matt continues to grow into his prowess, which as impressive as he is, folks, he still is not there yet. That's only going to continue to get better, and it's only going to continue to improve. So for everyone that wants to lay the blame of the Patriots' offensive abilities and say, well, you needed a running back to be your first option, I say to you, does it really matter? Like you said, it doesn't matter how you get there, just get there. And the fact that the Patriots have so many different weapons really speaks to the completeness of this offense. It's not all about that number one flash wideout that everyone wants to see put up the major fantasy points. It's about getting the job done on the field. If you can do it, doesn't matter how you do it.
Right. Mike, you mentioned about kind of like the strengths and weaknesses of Mac Jones. I want to kind of explore that if I can. Do you think that he's proved that he isn't this immobile quarterback that people had him pegged? I mean, but what do you think is his biggest weakness at the moment, and maybe his biggest strength as well?
Well, what I would say to people that feel that Mac is an immobile quarterback, didn't exactly do a pretty good job of watching him at Alabama. Mac has mobility. He's not the fluid mover, but he can move in the pocket as well as any quarterback in this class. And I put him up there with guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. He's not the athlete that those guys are. He's not going to run the ball for significant yardage the way those guys can, but look at their movements in the pocket. I'd match up Mac with any one of these guys because he has the ability to move to his strength. So that's a great question, Claire, and I'm so glad that you asked that because it gives me the chance to at least, you know, set the record straight on Mac a little bit. And the RPO that he's able to run, we saw him run it a little bit on Sunday, especially with the, you know, the 19-yard rip that he had. You know, bottom line, Mac continues to show that he's not a one-dimensional player. And I think that's something that is really endearing him to a lot of his national, not critics, but his national support that he's getting is because of the ability that he handles everything so accurately. He handles everything, you know, so well in terms of being able to make the throws and run that timing-based Patriots offensive system that Josh McDaniels loves to employ. But he has it in him to switch it up a little bit as well. And when he gets the chance to showcase that, look out, folks, because Mac Jones definitely brings it to the table each and every time. So, yeah, I think his greatest strength right now is being able to read, being able to pick up, you know, quick, you know, reads on that, make the throws and make the plays. You want to talk about weaknesses? Yeah, I think there's probably still a penchant of him to get rid of the ball, maybe try to force the ball downfield when maybe knowing when to take a sack, when to run out of bounds, maybe when to tuck and run it himself. These are still things that all rookies struggle with, and he'll continue right. to grow in that area. But bottom line, when it comes to the future, it's a lot brighter than dimmer with Mac Jones under center.
Right.
Thank you, Mike. Hates it when people like my questions.
Yeah, I do.
It was a good question.
Thank you. It was a good question. Yeah. When people say that.
It was a good question. I don't hate when you ask good questions. All of your questions are
good. No, just when people
are
nice to me and say that my questions are good. You don't.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. That I can't stand. Yeah. You know, yeah. Stop being so nice to Claire. But I've been getting on Carmen Brasilio for weeks now, and by extension, Bill. It did look like on Sunday that this offensive line came together, and it came together doing what I asked them to do 3-4 weeks ago in kicking on Wayu outside and giving more time to Karras at the guard spot. Do you agree that this is the way that we're going to see things unfold for the next few weeks, at least until Brown gets back?
Yeah, and I'm going to eat my slice of humble pie on this one as well. I have been one of those that has not been a proponent of moving Michael Wainu back to a right tackle, not because I didn't think he could handle the position.
That's a bad question, Murph. Ooh, evil question.
No, it's not. No. It's not an evil question. It's actually a very good question, and I'm glad and I'm happy to eat the humble pie right here on One Patriots Place. But bottom line, I always thought that the Patriots were trying to groom Mike for that Joe Tooney type of role, and that they saw a lot in him and his ability to be that anchor on that defensive line, the way Joe had played it so well here for so many years. But you have to play to your strengths. And there's sometimes where, regardless of how you're trying to set things up for the future, you have to live in the present. And that present means going for your best options right off the bat, right there. And I think that's what the Patriots did on Sunday. They utilized their best players in the best way that they were going to be able to be effective. And you saw it. That offensive line did a tremendous job, only allowing one sack, four quarterback hits. I mean, that's excellent. Being able to allow your rushers to average 5 yards per rush on total, giving Damian Harris the chance to average 7.6 yards per carry. You don't get to that level without solid run and pass protection by the offensive line. And having guys like Isaiah Wynn line up at the left tackle position, you get Ted Karras in the left guard position. He's been excellent. One of the better signings that the Patriots made in the offseason was bringing back Teddy. I love seeing Ted back in the Patriots. David Andrews is solid in the middle, and then you take a look at the right side, which for the first time this season was pretty formidable. You had Shaq Mason coming back, and he's not at 100%, guys. I can tell you the abdomen's still hurting. He was wearing a heat wrap out on the field, trying to keep himself limber, trying to keep that muscle relaxed, but he's still going through some pain. But even at less than face value, he was still one of the best players on the field in terms of offensive line protection, and Mike doing a great job on the right tackle as well. So things are going to get interesting now with Trent Brown eligible to come off of IR. We'll see how quickly that happens and what the Patriots do. But if Trent is not able to go this week and they don't choose to activate him, I would think the Patriots are going to go with this line against the Los Angeles Chargers, because that run defense can be had. And if they can do that and take advantage of it, Patriots have a shot in this one.
I agree. They got a good puncher's shot at it. And once again, Mike answered my a follow-up question before I had a chance to ask it. But I'll just skip down a little bit. Were you surprised at the healthy scratch that Ramondre Stevenson was this week?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, if you take a look at some of my previous columns for Sports Illustrated, I had identified Ramondre, who did not look fantastic on Sunday by default because we didn't see him. Mm-hmm. But Ramondre was someone that I thought was going to be a player worth watching on Sunday. I looked at his ability to receive out of the backfield, getting 39 yards receiving the previous week. And I'm looking at it and saying, well, the Patriots are utilizing him in that dual threat role, maybe similar to how they wanted to employ a guy like James White. But Patriots chose to go in a different direction on that. They went with J.J. Taylor. I think they looked at the matchups. I think they looked at some of the size alongside that Jets defensive line, which, by the way, folks, for all the lumps that the Jets are taking on both sides of the ball, that's still a pretty formidable defensive line. They can still make things difficult for a quarterback and tighten up a run defense. This is something that I think they don't get enough credit for. Patriots offensive line did a great job of opening up holes, and I think Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick saw J.J. Taylor, his diminutive size, and I don't say that derisively, I say that as a compliment, gave him the ability to maybe open up some holes and some seams that Ramondre wouldn't be able to utilize. So I think it's matchup specific at this point. I don't think Ramondre is back on double secret probation or anything of that nature. I think they like what they see out of these two guys. They're going to continue to use that platoon and keep teams guessing. You want to know exactly who's going to start this week. Bill Belichick's going to play some mind games with you, and he's as good at that as anybody in the league. So maybe a little bit of posturing, a little bit of showmanship there. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If it keeps teams off balance, I'm all for it, but not at the expense of development, because I do think that Ramondre is starting to hit his own.
Yeah, they really seem to trust. I like the show of trust in JJ down by the goal line. He ended up with two touchdowns. He did have a long run of 15 yards. I it's aggravating. Do the two of you get aggravated when you see guys like Taylor and Stevenson come out and have a decent to good week, and then we don't see him for a couple of weeks? Claire, how about you?
Yeah, the whole kind of when a player has a fumble and they go in the doghouse can be quite frustrating from a fan perspective, because you want to see what that, you know, that what that guy's got. You kind of, you know, one little fumble doesn't necessarily mean how shocking, you know, he's turned into a shocking player kind of thing. I mean, if that was the case, then I think Smith's Saints game should have put him in the doghouse for a while, really, if that's the case. Because, I mean, the guy put his gloves on the wrong hands or something that game, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's frustrating. And I've kind of been a bit of a JJ Taylor fan since last year. You know, I know he's small, but I don't know if that much makes you more affectionate towards him or whatever. But being a short person, I can say that. So, but yeah, it is a frustration. And you do want to... It's true. But yeah, you want to see what they've got, and you just... I think this is the year that we just want to see stuff. I think that's, this is, it sums it up really, is this is the year that we don't want anybody kind of having to be benched because of fumbles and this kind of thing. We want to see what we've got. We want to see what Mac's going to be using for the next sort of few years. We want to see what the future is, even if it fumbles and bumbles this year, kind of whatever. We want to see what we've got. We want to see what, where we're going, that kind of thing. So yeah, I find it frustrating.
Mike, penalties didn't seem to play a big role in this game. It was still, they still had 95 yards worth of them in this contest. Do you think that this is something that the Patriots still need to clean up, especially these big chunk penalties?
Yeah, I mean, penalties are always something that teams are going to look to clean up, and I don't think the Patriots are ever going to be satisfied unless they perform, penalty-free games. And even at that, I think Belichick is going to need to see like two or three of them in a row before he starts to say, well, maybe that Strickland-like discipline that he likes to put out there is actually working and really lets the Patriots become a flawless football team in that regard. I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think you're going to see any team that's going to be a flawless football team in that regard. But yeah, I think you're seeing these guys recognizing their positions on the field, recognizing the rules, learning the rules very well, which Belichick is a very good teacher, in terms of bringing in students that can learn the NFL rules and learn them very quickly. I would probably say that you'll see them continue to work on that and try to shore that up a little bit, especially in these chunk roles. We did see a couple of PI, calls. Obviously, J.C. Jackson is going to have one or two of those, and they yep. Could end up, hurting you at times. There's no question about it. But at the same time, you have to understand that these are part of the role. So they'll continue to do it. They'll continue to work on it. I think it will get better, but ultimately it's still going to be a part of things. They just have to learn to be able to capitalize on them and prevent them from hurting them. If they're committing a lot of these penalties and giving their opponent short yardage to work with, especially against a quarterback like Justin Herbert this Sunday, they're going to be in big trouble if they do.
Yeah.
The Patriots have to play smart football, sharp football, and they have to do everything they can not to give the opportunities to the opponent to be able to beat them.
I'm glad you said about sharp football, actually. There's been kind of trick plays, razzle dazzles, people like to say, and that kind of thing. I think it's great because it's great as a spectator to watch. And I mean, I know some people are concerned at what that could mean. I mean, how do you feel about that? What do you think about them using that then, Mike?
Excuse me. Casper. Sorry, a little sneeze there. Casper.
Bless you.
Bottom line, when it comes to, trickery and bringing out the books, I saw a lot of that. I saw some of that on social media. Why are they emptying out the trick plays, against the Jets? Why not save this for teams that you really, really need? Bill Belichick kind of danced around the subject Monday morning when we had a chance to speak to him post-game on a media Zoom conference. And he essentially said, you know what? What it comes down to is being able to make the plays and make the calls in the moment. We take a look at the defense. We take a look at how they're lining up. And if this gives us an opportunity to be able to score, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're not going to take a trick play out and say, okay, we're just going to run it for the sake of running it, or we're going to run it out of desperation. Sometimes you have no choice but to run a play of trickery out of desperation. We've seen the Patriots and Josh McDaniel do this before. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't think they were trying to necessarily empty out the playbook of trick plays on Sunday. I think they saw that this Jets defense would bite on some of these, and they chose to take the chance. Obviously, the Kendrick Bourne trickery to Nelson Agholor worked perfectly. I mean, you couldn't have drawn that up any better. You couldn't have executed it any better. The one with Brandon Bolden and Mac Jones didn't work out so well. The Jets didn't bite on that. No. But I understand. I can understand the argument to try it. So I don't have a problem with it. I think as long as the Patriots are comfortable with it, then go ahead and go for it. And for everyone that's going to hop on these guys for doing it, let me tell you something. The Patriots have not emptied their bottomless bag of tricks. There's still plenty left up the cutoff sleeve of Bill Belichick's hoodie. I can promise you that.
Well, I was talking with Steve yesterday, and he brought up the fact that running plays like this gives, you know, teams like San Diego. I'm going to keep saying San Diego for the rest of my life. I'm sorry. Something else to concentrate on during the week. It gives Bill an opportunity to see how people react to these plays. Game film is not simply watching what another team does to you, but it shows what other teams are possibly going to do against you. And when you set up these kind of plays, it gives your opponent something else to think about, and it gives you something to study and show you other options that may open up if they see this and react to it in this way. Well, we've still got this to go to in that event. You know, would both of you agree with that?
Well, I was just going to say, you could turn around and say, well, if you're kind of using it to judge the Jets, then you could say, well, maybe they utilize the game to test out these trick plays, to test out if they were going to work. And you test them out on a team that you don't think that's so great, then, if you want to look at it that way. I don't think, like Mike said, that they were kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel to use them. No. I don't think there should be a concern that they go to trick plays, because it's something that's going to put the other team
practice
off regardless.
Reps.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think it's a cause for concern. I was curious to see if Mike did, because as you touched on, it was kind of, people were sort of an outcry of, oh no, it's that bad against the Jets that they have to take out the trick plays. And it's like, well, don't look at it as in you have to take it out. Just look at it as in you're practicing, you're utilizing them, you're running them, you're making sure that they work, that kind of thing.
So. Against people that hate you. You know, not a guy that you have to get in the shower with later.
Exactly. Let's not go down that route, shall we? But yeah, okay.
I don't even hear Mike breathing. Mike, you there?
Did he leave again?
Oh, okay.
I'm taking it all in. Nope, I am here.
No, man.
This is not.
Yeah. You just gotta let us tap on the phone or something. Let us know you're still there. You know, hit the seven button or something.
I am embodying the voice of reason here on One Patriots Place today. I'm trying my best to fill in for the great Steve Balistrieri. Steve, we love you. We need you back here soon.
Yeah, Steve, we need you back, because someone needs to sort me and Murph out, like, proper.
Mike's not up to the task.
Yeah, oh, Mike, we adore you, but yeah, I think, yeah, it's...
Oh, man. It's difficult to see. Mike, what did you think of the Patriots on third down this week on both sides of the ball?
Definitely improved. I mean, there's no question about it. Look, they're trying to still attack on third down. On offense, I think they're doing a much better job being able to read some of that. A lot of that is on Mac. A lot of that is on play calling when it comes to Josh McDaniels. They're still trying to make up too much ground on third down. I think I'd like to see that shored up a little bit. Continue to get more aggressive on first and second. Get the yardage that you can. Put these teams on their heels. When we saw the Patriots move down the field and score effectively, they were hitting on first and second downs.
Right.
We even saw Bill Belichick attempt a fourth down conversion, and it worked. So for everyone out there screaming about fourth down, I even tweeted about this on Sunday. I says, for the record, the Patriots have attempted a fourth down. For everyone that thinks that they forgot that there are four downs in this league, they do know how to utilize it when they can. And I think some of that criticism was warranted. I think some of it was overblown, but bottom line, I do think that they've been more efficient on third down offensively. And defensively, without question, that defensive front seven, and Murph, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, really has done a very good job of keeping teams in check, not letting them get their game, their running game on track and be able to keep their defense on its heels. You have to do that against a team right now that is very thin at the outside cornerback position, and the secondary could end up being a problem here for the New England Patriots. So they're going to have to shore up and be able to stop teams early, put them in third and long situations, because if they don't, and you're getting third down and short yardage, let me tell you, this offense they're going to be playing on Sunday can carve them up. And Justin Herbert is as good in the league as anybody at being able to do it.
Right. I loved it. The fact that the Patriots had, you know, almost double the amount of first downs that the Jets did in this contest, and the fact that the Pats were 7 of 12 out of the 32 first downs, that went and showed me that they're going out there and they are being aggressive. They are taking a shot on second down, on first down, to get those short yardage plays. But yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I want to see more of that. Go ahead, Claire.
You just enjoying it because the Patriots spanked the Jets. It doesn't matter how they did it.
It's true. They did it. They spanked the Jets, and their little pretty boy freaking
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I don't care. I don't care. God, don't like him. Hate him. Can't stand him. Nope. I don't wish injury on anybody, but we can go home and let mommy rub some oil on his little aching knee or whatever is going on there. And, you know, I said in the first matchup that I wanted him lying there on the ground in a fetal position because of what the Patriots defense was able to do to him. I meant schematically, not in injuring the guy, but
you don't want to see you don't want to see any young quarterback.
I don't
want
to see anybody
as much
injured.
As you don't like him, I know that
right.
We're not
I don't.
You're not advocating
no,
for him to
I'm
be
not
injured.
Advocating no, right. I just want him injured mentally. I don't want him physically injured. I just want him I just want his constitution crushed.
He's That's not it. Even that pretty. I love this. We say about his pretty little face. He's not even that pretty, so
he's not. Oh, because all the girls I talk to think that he's just darling. Look at him. He's so adorable. He looks like he fell off a charm bracelet. He's so cute. Oh, my God. I can't stand it.
I don't know who have you been talking to, but I don't know who you've been talking to. But no. No.
Claire likes her men a tad bit more burly and giant and, you know, not quite as feminine as the Jets quarterback obviously is. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Mike, please the change the
subject. How do I respond to that?
Just please change the subject from please.
I'll change the subject. And I'll jump in because Claire hasn't to this point. The tight end usage was quite diverse and quite on point this week. There is a tad bit of a problem with another injury to our tight endage situation. Mike, how did you feel the tight ends were utilized in this game? We touched on it for just a second with the route running that Henry does, but things are looking up. I mean, 2 weeks ago I was talking about scrap the two tight end sets, and after the past two games, What?
How dare you scrap anything?
How dare you? Oh, my God. How frickin' dare you? It was not working out.
It was amazing. And
it was not working out. But in the last 2 weeks, things have been picking up. How difficult are things going to be if this injury lingers?
Believe it or not, I myself and the esteemed Countess of Claz herself, Claire Miss Clazzy Claire Cooper, just discussed this on Locked On Patriots. believe it or not, I don't think that their ability to run the two tight end sets is going to be completely and utterly compromised if Janu is going to have to miss any time with a shoulder injury. Now, keep in mind, we don't know, folks, yet. This is going to be another, let's take a look at the field on Sunday. Excuse me. I'll take a look at the field on Wednesday and see if that translates to what we're going to see on Sunday. Is Janu out there? Is he a limited participant? Does he look like he's heavily taped? Even though Dante Hightower saw some limited action during practice last week. Anyone that saw him out on the field knew that he was moving around very difficult. He was taped up very heavily. Didn't look like he was ready to go. So when you saw his name on the inactives list, if you saw his name on the inactive list on Sunday, you weren't surprised by it. We have to take a look at how Janu looks. If he's moving crisply and moving fluidly and even maybe a little bit compromised, but he's still able to go, then the Patriots will continue to run those sets and maybe even feature Janu a little bit, thinking that maybe the Chargers might not be expecting him to be that type of threat in the open field and also carrying out of the backfield. Hunter's going to continue to draw comparisons. He's going to continue to draw coverage. You know the Chargers know his tendencies well. Justin Herbert utilized him last year as a pass catcher. He knows his tendencies, so he's going to be giving a lot of indication to that Chargers defense in terms of how the Patriots are going to try to employ Hunter Henry. So in a lot of ways, that two tight end set may be a little bit lessened on Sunday if Janu is unable to go or if he's compromised at all, but I would look to someone like a Jakob Johnson. Claire said so very eloquently on Locked On Patriots earlier that he could be utilized in that role. And I think there's a chance that he might be used maybe more as a blocker, but don't discount to see. And I know a lot of Patriots fans. I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast are going to, they're going to turn out their tongue and they're going to go, oh, terrible taste in my mouth. Folks, N'Keal Harry may line up alongside Hunter Henry in some two tight end sets. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the Patriots, it's not out of the Patriots realm.
Nope.
Those that I've talked to in the organization, they are not averse to using N'Keal Harry in that situation. And for those of you that don't think he can do it, take a look at the over-the-top catch that he made on Sunday over the Jets defender late in the game on a Brian Hoyer ball. That was an athletic up to the challenge, go up, grab it, rip it out of the opponent's hands, grab. And I think that those types of moves could be something that you may see on Sunday if Janu is in some way compromised and if Hunter draws any type of a double team.
No, this is spectacular. Something I talked about on draft night, 3 years ago when he was first taken, that this is somebody that the Patriots could look to kick inside and make into that Joker type tight end that we had been missing since, the days of He Who Shall Not Be Named. No, I like that. I was going to bring up, could we see Devin Asiasi back on the field?
Claire and I actually discussed this as well. And, you talk about double secret probation, buddy. And, I don't know what's going on with Devin. I know it's a healthy scratch because he's not listed on the injury reports each and every week. But, there's something that the Patriots either are not seeing when it comes to his development or something they are seeing that they don't like. Your guess is as good as mine. Everybody's being pretty tight-lipped about Devin Asiasi within the organization, so not a whole lot to learn, not a whole lot to
I can't
extract,
get a single janitor
at the same
to talk
time,
about
him. Yeah, at the same time, you need early morning breakfasts on Foxborough and in Waltham for that. That's the only time that they open up for you, so that's, only if you know, folks.
Yep, if you know.
That's the only thing I'm going to say about that.
Yep.
But any case, when it comes to Devin, there's still some upside there when it comes to size and strength. He's a very natural hands catcher. That's something I've always liked about his game back at UCLA. Route running has never been his strong suit, and I have my suspicions, folks. And again, this is pure speculation based on what I've seen in practices, preseason, obviously during the regular season, the media only is able to view a snippet of what this is actually going to be doing. I don't see, his route running maybe is something that's catching the eye of the New England Patriots, especially with a young quarterback like Mac Jones, who's still learning to throw his receivers open. Did a great job on the touchdown of throwing Hunter Henry open. But I don't know if Devin Asiasi necessarily is developing that synergy. So if that's the case, and that's the reason why they're holding him out, then even with Janu compromised, I don't know if that's going to change how they feel about Devin, put him out there. I think they're better off going, and Claire, you know, articulated this well on Locked On Patriots, better off going with probably a guy like Jakob Johnson in that situation to help quell some of the tight end issues.
There you go.
And don't forget, you've got Matt LaCoste on the practice squad. People forget that. He could be a standard elevation for this game. We haven't seen Matt LaCoste yet this season. No. This could be the game. Who knows?
You could see Mr. La Cruces back on the field. Mike, I want to thank you so much. We could talk for another half hour and, you know, at the very least, and talk about this week's upcoming game. Just one more thing. Where, how do you predict that the Patriots attack the Chargers this week, and how can they shut down this, this passing game quickly?
They want to keep the ball away from Justin Herbert. They have that because at this point, Herbert is not going to be able to lead this team if he doesn't see time on the field. How do you do it? Run the ball heavily. And the Patriots, I assume, are going to do that. Right now, the Jets are averaging 162.5 rushing yards per game. 5.4 yards per carry, and they're allowing, the Chargers are allowing 14.5 points per second half. That's a problem for them, and that's when I said earlier that this run defense can be had. Look for the New England Patriots to run the ball. Damian Harris coming off of a big game. Keep the ball away from Justin Herbert. The best way to do it is offensively keep running the ball and racking up the first downs.
I love it. I love it. Michael, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and giving us this time. It's always fantastic to talk to you. I know I get a chance to do it every week on Locked On Patriots on Locked On Murph Monday. Don't miss it, folks. And then Steve always gets Claire stepped in today and she got to talk to you. But having you here is something special, and it's always a homecoming. It's like the kid that I sent off to college, and he comes home and he's just happy to see me, man. I really love it. I really do. Tell everybody out there where they can read you, where they can follow you on social media, and what you've got in the hopper for this week.
Oh, most definitely. Well, as my good friend Mark Schofield would say, follow me on the Bird app at MDABATENFL. You can find all of my written work on Patriot Maven of Sports Illustrated. We've got game previews. We've got press conference recaps. Anything and everything related to the Patriots is all there, all covered by Patriot Maven of Sports Illustrated. And of course, each and every day on the Locked On Patriots podcast, free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Free. You should be paying for this shit, and you're not.
Tune in today, because it's me.
Yeah, tune in today, because it's Locked On Classy Claire.
It's Locked On,
Tight Endage. Oh, my God. Tight Endage Tuesday. There's a hashtag for you right there. Claire should freaking end every tweet on Tuesday with Tight Endage Tuesday. And don't forget, folks, run on over to Pat's Propaganda and get your Tight Endage T-shirt from them. And Claire, go ahead, take us out, doll.
Well, thank you, as always, for listening. This has been One Patriot Place, brought to you by E2GSports.com. We have been your hosts, Murph and Claire, and not chaperoned by Steve today, unfortunately. So big love to Steve. As ever, we'd like to greatly thank our guest, Mike DeBate, for his time and his insight. Tune in next time, and go Pats.
Yeah, go Pats. I'm on my way to HR because I've got some things to answer for, I guess. Talk to you later, folks.